Welcome to the Unmeasured Podcast. I'm your host, Simi Bowditch. Thank you so much for being here with me today. Hello, and welcome back to a very special episode of the Unmeasured Podcast, because I am joined by the one and only, the lovely Regan Walsh. Regan, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for what's about to go down.
The Heart Boss herself is here with us. I love it.
It's going to be so fun.
So excited. Regan is an NYU certified executive coach and human development expert with a focus on helping people who are overprogrammed and underwhelmed to reclaim their lives, both personally and professionally. She contributes to a Harvard Business Review and Forbes and has been featured in Fast Company, NBC.com, Today, and Real Simple. Regan has supported thousands of people through executive coaching and curated leadership circles, and she is regularly asked to deliver keynotes, facilitate workshops, and speak on panels for Fortune 500 companies. She has done so for clients like Freddie Mac, Nike, Intuit, and Whole Foods. Heart Boss, her debut memoir, was published in March 2021, and it is amazing. Regan is located here in Columbus, Ohio, and leads a network of corporate executives and founders from all over the world. Regan, I am just so happy to have you here with us on the Unmeasured Podcast.
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's no better person to connect with and exchange energy. Thank you for that lovely intro.
Absolutely. We are so lucky to have you here. And this episode's listener question is, favorite practical ways to practice self-care in motherhood? What are your cozy ways to refuel and unwind? And I just thought we would have so much fun chatting about this question together, because I know how intentional you are with your time. And we sort of grew up in motherhood together, and we used to hang out with our little babies. And it has been so fun being on fun and hard and challenging and all the things. I don't want to say it's just been fun. It's been a lot of things to be on this motherhood journey together, but I feel so thankful that I have been on like a parallel path with you through this all. And it's been so beautiful to watch you find your rhythm and find the ways that you organize and prioritize your time in both the ways that like you invest in other people, but also, and specifically, you know, for our conversation today, the ways that you invest in yourself. And so I'm jazzed about getting to talk about this together.
I mean, can we just stop for a moment and think about, I mean, we had infants and we had that little pod. There were four of us that would get together. And I remember one of the women was bold enough to like get both babies out of the car, or go through a Starbucks drive-thru. And like, she always had snacks. Like, I was never bold enough to try to get both of my kids in the car and then accomplish something other than just go where we were going. And you would always show up with snacks and like those gluten-free treats. And I just was drowning. So I think the number one thing, right, when it comes to self-care and motherhood is to find people who are holding on maybe as best as they can or better than you are. Because I always felt like I was like the straggler, right? But I think we all felt that way.
Yes, we absolutely did. And yeah. I had one kiddo at the time. So I was like, well, I got a free hand for gluten-free baked goods. I better fill his hand with something.
And honestly, don't ask me to bring anything. I'm just showing up if I can.
I also think that one of the things that was so special about that little crew was that there was zero judgment. We could all come at different moments in time and say, this is really challenging for me, or I'm having a really hard time with this, or have you ever felt this way? And whether someone was going through what, you know, we were going through, or whether or not someone else had felt that way, there was always so much love and compassion and understanding and just warmth and respect. And I never felt like I had to caveat any of the challenges or struggles with like, but I really love my kid, right? It's like, we all know that we love our kids. No one's judging that. And I do think this topic of self-care, like taking care of yourself in motherhood, for me, like community and connecting with others who are willing and ready to meet me with like love and care and like to lay the judgment down, that feels like self-care. I'm just like, I'm not engaging in close relationships with people who are assholes to me.
There's no time for assholes.
No, rule right? number one of self-care.
Yeah. It's like, kick those people to the curb. For sure. I remember one conversation vividly, and then I promise we'll get back on track. I remember confessing that I felt like I loved my children less than other, you know, you and Claire, and having this conversation. And Claire said, one of the women that was in our group, she said to me, you know what? Infants and toddlers might not be where you shine. And I was like, you know what? Thank you for saying that, because we don't have to shine in every season. And I feel like I'm shining right now. My kids
are.
Thank you. Thank you. They're 7 and 8, and I'm having a blast, and my anxiety is so much lower, and I find joy in it. I don't find joy in toddlers. I think people who find joy in toddlers, like, I don't know what they do differently or why they're wired that way, but good for them. I hated every moment for the most part.
And you loved your kids.
And I love my kids, but I couldn't stand toddlers. I'm like, I just can't stand you.
I love that, where it's like everybody shines at different moments, and we all have different strengths. And I am curious for you, thinking about maybe a season like toddlerhood, is that toddler season, whatever the season of the toddlers, thinking about that time versus now with your 7 and 8 year old, where you're like, that was a harder time for me. I didn't feel like it was my favorite part of motherhood. Now I'm in a season where I really feel like I'm shining and I love it. Did self-care look different in those different seasons? And also, like, how did you tap into that, like, joy and that fun and that pleasure? Both of those times, because someone listening to this might be in a season where they're like, I feel like I'm really shining in motherhood right now, and I'm looking for ways to prioritize my own joy. Or someone might be like, I'm drowning. This is one of those really hard times where I'm like, does everyone love their kids more than I love mine? Like, what is happening? Because I think we all have those at different moments in our motherhood journey.
Oh, for sure. So let's start with the dark times. For me, because I actually am an introvert, and I am a lot of a loner. Like, I love being alone. And for me, I think that was what was so soul crushing to having kids, is because it's an instant on from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed. You're always on, and you don't get a break. And so for me, I remember when I was like at the depth of just darkness, I looked at Nick, my husband, and I said, I've got to get the heck out of town. Like, when I was single, I used to go on solo vacations, and now I'm like strapped with this husband and these kids, and I'm not going on solo vacations. I get joy out of solitude. Yes. And so Nick, being the great man that he is and a true partner, was like, okay, why don't you get out of town this weekend? Let's use my points to book you a place to stay. I went to Chicago, and I still remember
when you took that trip. It was so wonderful. I was like, I love that. Because I had always loved your stories about the solo trips that you had taken. And then when you did that Chicago trip, I just remember thinking, like, this is so cool.
It was awesome. I slept in. I got room service. I went and saw Hamilton. I had a boozy brunch. And, like, in between all that, I was, like, of course, pumping.
Totally.
My kids were still on my mind, but I took like a luxurious bubble bath. And so for me, in those dark times, it was finding moments to get away and do something by myself. Less extreme version of that was going to my favorite restaurant, sitting at the bar and having dinner by myself, because that's something else I love to do. I love dining alone. Like, it doesn't bother me whatsoever. I love looking at people and making up stories about their lives in my head. And you can't do that when you're distracted with toddlers, right? And so
totally.
For me, it was finding moments to do what I did before I was a mom that brought me joy. And I would say that today, you know, it's probably some of it's still the same, and some of the joy and the play and the self-care is with them. So When I'm with my kids, it's like being all in on the trampoline, right? And I'm jumping with Maeve and we're seeing how many times we can sit down and stand up, which can get into the hundreds. And when you're like in your mid-40s and you're doing that 300 times, the thigh muscles like really start to burn. But also you're like deep belly laughing with your 7-year-old who just like wants to break the record that we had last time. So self-care is part being truly engaged and present with the kids. And then also something I've recently shared with you is I'm on this kick to create as many like margins in my life, meaning I'm not scheduling a lot. I have freedom during my days to do what it is I want to do. Sometimes that looks like working out with a personal trainer. For me, like movement brings me joy in so many ways. So it's like lifting weights or boxing, right? And feeling like so challenged and so strong. That is like joy. Also going on, 2-hour walks if I can. Like that's really a luxury. If I can build that in on like a Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to be doing it. I think it's so important to have margins so that you just don't feel like every day is you're so wound tight and you've got to get all these things done. Like, what if we can just breathe and kind of feel more at ease and not schedule every moment of the day? And so it's giving myself more and more permission to decline invitations and say yes to truly what matters most.
Absolutely love that. And I know my community so well. And so I already am anticipating like maybe what is happening in their brain right now. And they're thinking, okay, but how do you deal with the guilt of saying no to things to preserve this margin? How do you decide what to say yes and no to, like in creating this margin? Because, there's a lot of women in this community who are just so giving such caregivers, as I know you are as well, which is why I think it's like especially powerful to hear this coming from you. And it's hard to say no. And there's people pleasing and perfectionism and guilt and all of that like wrapped up into it. And so I would love to hear how you've gotten to this place where you're like, I feel comfortable and I feel safe to protect these margins of time in my life. And I don't feel guilty about it. And I also understand what I need to think about when I'm deciding what I am saying yes to, because I know that you and I both hold this belief that like time is so precious. And we, probably through a lot of like personal experiences and personal loss, where we both know, like, you don't know how much of it that you get. And so, how can we be both intentional, but also like intentional in a realistic way in our lives where we feel like I am spending my time in really meaningful, value-aligned ways? And of course, that does mean saying no, but I'm also not so wrecked with the guilt over saying no that I can't even enjoy the margin that maybe I carved out, So, what do you think about that?
I mean,
Give
I
me
have
all
so
your
many
thoughts.
thoughts on it, and it's all like it's all so heavy, right? That invisible load, like put aside the invisible load of tasks that we're completing every single day to keep our lives afloat for our families, but then to layer on the guilt or the shame or the rumination about, oh, I finally said no, but now I'm just thinking about how I said no and may have hurt somebody's feelings. So the first thing I would say for your community out there is remember that every yes you give means you're saying no to something else. So every decision you make throughout your day comes with a trade-off, right? We're always making trade-offs. So if I say yes to going on a long walk with you and I say no to cleaning out my inbox, right? How does that make me feel? Well, actually, it makes me feel great. I feel connected. I'm moving my body. I know I'm having lots of laughs. I'm also in this safe, trusted place versus my inbox that's just going to continue to build up, right? So I'm always weighing the trade-offs. I have let go of having a cleaned out inbox. I am responsible to my clients and the people that really deserve my extra, the 500 other things that come into my inbox that are asking for my time. I might get back to them in a month and that's okay. I still have issues with like ruminating on, oh my gosh, I can't believe I haven't responded. And also I then let it go. Like, why does it matter? Just because somebody's asking for your time doesn't mean you have to give it. I also do the math, right? So I'll think about every moment I'm spending doing something. I actually just posted about this for Instagram, but I've done it for coffee dates and everything else. So coffee dates, if I'm asked for 3 coffee dates a week, 3 times 52, I'm not quick on the fly, but you know where I'm going. What is that? 158?
I think it's 156, 3 times. 56,
great. Yeah.
I don't know.
times 90 minutes for each of those. When I did the math on all the coffee dates I'm asked to have, it was literally weeks and weeks. It was like 6 weeks of my year could be spent having coffee by the time you get there, have the date, get back, and then re-engage. I'm not willing to make that trade-off. What I will do for most of them is have a call, because instead of 90 minutes, I can listen to them and hold space for them in 20 to 30 minutes, right? So understanding the trade-offs and what you're willing to say yes to and what you're not, over time, you will feel less and less guilty because you're showing up for yourself, right? Or you're showing up for your family. I am a mega, mega fan of James Clear. Have you read Atomic Habits?
Yes, I have.
Oh, so he has this line, I'm going to get it wrong, but when you were talking, I was thinking about it. So every single action you take is casting a vote for the person you want to become.
I love that.
Every action. So if we're constantly casting a vote for the kind of person we want to be, well, then you're probably going to start voting in the way in which you want to be showing up in the world, right? And so I think that's a great reminder. I use that a lot for myself. Like if I'm struggling with a decision, like, okay, if I'm casting a vote for myself and what's best for me, which is then what's best for my family, then what do I choose?
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yes. And Reagan, when you were talking about like the coffee dates and you're like, okay, it could be 150 plus hours, or what I do instead is a 20-minute phone call rather than a 90-minute coffee date. I love that example because I think a lot of people have this fear of, but what if I miss out on like a meaningful connection? Or what if I miss out on an opportunity or whatever it might be because I'm saying no, no, no to create this space? And you're finding ways to say no and yes that really honor you, your time, your priorities. And I know some things for you might be just a no, and that's totally great too. But in this context, it's like you found a way to engage and connect that makes so much more sense for you and helps you get loads of time back. Like, you know, 100 plus hours back. Again, not doing the math perfectly, but like, a lot of hours back. And then that can create margin in your life for you to say yes to the fun, for you to get to go to like a boxing class or go on a walk or grab a burger at the, you know, at your favorite restaurant and sit and just like imagine stories about strangers, like whatever it might be, it gets that time back for you. And I think there are so many people, and specifically to this question, so many moms who are like, I have no time. Like there is no time. And I have had moments in my life where I have felt like, oh, time feels very tight. Like it feels like I don't have enough time for all of the things that I need to do, let alone adding in things that I want to do, you know? And this part of the conversation, like needing to say no and needing to create that space, like truly is such a like a prerequisite to even having like the space and the time to get to have the margin to do the things that you want to do that feel so fun for you. Hi, I'm Simi, your host of the Unmeasured podcast. I'm also a mindset mentor, intuitive eating counselor, health and life coach, founder of the Unmeasured Movement membership, and author of Letting Go of Leo, How I Broke Up with Perfection. Consider me your personal architect, helping you to build the relationship with yourself that you know in the deepest part of your being you are meant to experience. That's why I created my 6-month private coaching and mentorship program. In this program, I'll work with you one-on-one to help you tap into your wisdom, align with your values, heal your relationship with food and movement, embrace your body, release perfectionism, cultivate deep self-trust, turn up the self-compassion, and live your beautifully imperfect life. If you're ready to experience more peace, pleasure, presence, and purpose in your life, I'd love to support you to do that. Your 6-month coaching and mentorship program is completely personalized support, coaching, guidance, and mentorship. This program includes 12 private coaching sessions and between session support, so you'll truly feel held every step of the way. To learn more about this one-on-one experience, read client stories, and request a consultation, head to simibodich.com/coaching. I'm here to help you build the relationship with yourself you truly deserve. I can't wait to connect.
Yes. I have a few thoughts real quick. Number one, on the coffee date scenario, only one time. And I actually started implementing that rule before I was a mom. And I did it because I was an entrepreneur, right? And it's the same. When you're building a business, time is everything. So I was like, what am I giving away all this time, right? When I'm also trying to build my business, when I give away my time here, I'm not focused on my business. Only one time did somebody get real mad at me because I said I didn't do coffee dates. I mean, real mad might be an exaggeration, but it was a man. And I had set the boundary. I said, I don't do coffee dates like this. What I am willing to do is a call for 30 minutes. And he said, clearly we have, you know, different values. I don't build relationships like that. No, thank you. And I was like, well, thank goodness I did not spend 90 minutes with you. Because if you don't get that, then I don't want to be part of your world. And literally every other person I've ever said that to was like, oh, I'm going to implement that rule. That is genius.
And to see someone who, for me, it's like so inspiring to see people who have clarity and who can share a boundary in like a very kind, wonderful way where it's like, I'm inspired by that, whether or not I like want to have the same boundary. Like it sounds like 99.9% of people are like, I would like that. I will borrow that boundary. But it's like, even if someone said something and you were like, I'm the queen of coffee dates. I love coffee dates. And this person's like, I don't do coffee dates. Like, if you can't be respectful of someone else's boundary, like, I don't want to spend time with you if you can't be like respectful of that. Right. Like, this is not a relationship that I want to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Another thing with the I have no time, I get it because there are moments where I feel that way. If you do a real audit of how you're spending your time, so I recently shared this story on Instagram the other day, and it sparked from a conversation I had with a young woman who's a senior in high school, and she was telling me about the classes she gets to take. And she said, every class that I take is either useful or fun. And I was so inspired about her enthusiasm for her season in life. I have met very few seniors in high school who love their lives. She is on fire for being a senior in high school. She just thinks it's the greatest thing. Bless her. And I started thinking about useful and fun. And I was like, oh my gosh, is every minute of my day either useful or fun? And or how can I get as many minutes as possible to fit into one of those two categories, right? Useful is laundry and dishes and a lot of other things, learning, showing up for my clients. Fun is a lot of different things. So do an audit of useful and fun. That conversation had me looking at how much screen time I have. And on average, I'm spending over 5 hours on Instagram every single week. Well, for people who don't have time and are like me, spending 5 hours and maybe more, well, there's some time, What if you stop doing things if that isn't useful or fun for you? For some people, it is useful and fun. For me, it's not. So recognizing I can build margins if I really put a magnifying glass up on my days and how I spend my time, I can find the time.
I love that framework of useful and fun. And I do think that there are so many of us who spend time doing things habitually that do not fit into either one of those categories at the expense of actually having time to do things that are fun. Or we just don't even self-reflect about, is this thing that I'm doing, you know, probably on some level for fun, actually fun? And I think social media is like a great example of that. Maybe I'm scrolling on social media for like some downtime. That would imply that it's like enjoyable on some level, right? But like, is it actually, like, is it enjoyable? Is it fun? Is it maybe fun for 5 minutes and then like not after that? So I think even just checking in with yourself and saying, like, looking at my week, what are the things that I'm doing for like enjoyment or downtime or fun? And are they actually like doing what I'm intending for them to do? Are they actually supporting me to feel the way that I'm hoping that I'll feel when I do those things? And if not, like, what can I try instead? And that I think is, can be like such a huge unlock, because I do think a lot of us are doing things for quote unquote fun that we're actually not having like any fun doing.
Honestly. And I'm one of those people, like for me, I actually don't get like a lot of joy or fun out of scrolling. And mostly because like, for whatever reason, the algorithm is just feeding me ads. Like I actually don't even see your posts. Like I have to think like, okay, go to my friends' pages, because I don't even see that anymore. I'm like, what am I even doing? Versus like taking 20 minutes, because let's be honest, no one's ever really doing it for 5 minutes.
You're not. It's shocking how fast the time goes.
Yeah, I even set a 20-minute timer and it's like 20 minutes for your day is up. I'm like, no, but it's only 7:45 in the morning. What do you mean 20 minutes is up? I don't know where I was going to go with that. But I lost my train of thought. Another thing that popped up for, oh, I know, like, so 20 minutes. So many of us have the luxury of being able to work from home from time to time. And hopefully a lot of the women in your community are like that. And a few years ago, I remember there was a snowy day and I had probably 25 or 30 minutes between client meetings. And it was the afternoon and I kind of get sluggish in the afternoon. I was like, okay, I need a joy boost. What can I do that would be playful? I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to do that. And I live close to Goodale Park and it was snowing. And so I grabbed one of my kids' sleds while they were at school. I ran to the park. I went down the hill 3 or 4 times. And then I came back and I did my next meeting. How I felt because of that choice, I felt alive. I had energy. I had the cold air. Like life was so exciting and fun. And I was like deep belly laughing, howling, going down this hill. And then of course I ran into somebody I used to date back in the day and they were with their toddler. And they're like, you're just sledding by yourself on this hill. I'm like, yeah, sure am. I sure am. And it's good to see you.
Oh, love it.
So embarrassing. And also
it's good to see you.
Good to see you. I got to go to a meeting. I mean, can you imagine? I was like howling down the hill and then ran into somebody I used to like be in love with.
That is so funny. And also so fun. Like, why as adults do we feel so far away from doing things that are like really playful and just truly like carefree?
Yeah. Why? Another thing. Yeah. Is sometimes I'll go out and jump on the trampoline just like to change the energy. I think I might botch his name. I think his name is Dr. Stuart Brown, but don't take that as fact, but I believe it's Dr. Stuart Brown who studies play and mood. And he talks about the opposite of play isn't work, it's depression. So if you're in a season of parenting or life that feels super hard, and parenting is a job that never stops, well, the opposite of that, right? If you're not playing and you're only working, you're probably gonna feel some depression or anxiety or some really tough mental struggles. the more you dial at play, the better you're going to feel mentally. And it's true.
I love that so much. And I think for me, something sort of like the play thing and the enjoyment has, there's two things from motherhood that have come of that for me. The first is that I do feel like having kids has helped me to tap back into like that childlike playfulness so much because they're just doing it so naturally. And of course, they're always like inviting you to come along. And so I think like it's just opened my eyes to, wow, you don't have to be a parent to do these things, but it's almost like I forgot about them in adulthood. And this is so fun to be re-engaging. But then also what I would say is at each phase with my kids, I have tried to really think about like, what do I have fun doing with them? And what are the things that they're doing that I genuinely enjoy? And how can I invite in more of that? Because I don't like doing all the things that my kids like to do. Like for me, Tim loves to go in the backyard with the kids and like, they'll throw the baseball, they'll throw the football. If I throw a baseball, it's so stressful to me because it's not a skill that I have. And so it's like, I throw it and it's like, the kids are just annoyed because it's 10 feet away from them. And they're like, duh. Daddy's so much better at this than you are. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I feel like all my anxiety from like middle school sports is coming back up again. This isn't fun for me, but I love to play tag with them. Like I love to just like run around and be silly. And so tag is like a physical play that I can do with them where like playing an actual sport, I guess, is not something that's fun because I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I'm either going to throw it very far away from you on accident, or I'm going to like hit you in the face with this thing. And like, it's going to end really badly. And so I think for me, it's been like, I don't have to be into every single thing that they're into, but like, can I find things that they are into that are like, that are really fun for me? Or I'll try to find ways of engaging with them that are really fun. Like if they're coloring, I'll totally like rip a page out of a coloring book and color next to them. And that's really fun. But if they're doing like perler beads, I'm not like a hyper like detail oriented person when it comes to stuff like that. And so perler beads are like stressful for me. So I'll always get like a cup of like, I'll be like, I'm going to make a cup of coffee and watch you guys. And I'll just sit back and relax and watch them and turn music on. And that's like how I will engage with them in that. And so I've just tried to practice acceptance for myself and my personality and have asked myself, like, how can I engage with them in different ways that isn't like miserable for me? In each season, there's new things that they're into and there's new ways to engage. And so that's been really helpful, like for me in terms of just like play and enjoyment in motherhood, not necessarily like on my own, but I feel better overall. Like my mental health feels better overall when I'm not trying to force myself to be someone who I'm not.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. And giving your permission to even say no, like sometimes Maeve will ask me to do things and I just say, no, I'm not going to do that. And it might be something I've said yes to in the past, but like in that moment, I'm saying no, but I love like, I'm going to drink my cup of coffee and watch you. I love that example. Or carving out, you shared this recently on a panel, how you'll spend like, maybe even if it's 10 focused minutes doing and inviting them to do something with you. I love that strategy because you're present and you're connected and it feels special for them. Yeah.
That came from the book, Scattered Minds by Gabor Mate. And that has maybe been like the single most effective parenting tool, practice, whatever, for connection of all of the things. And I'm someone who like, I take in like a lot of parenting advice. I shared this on a previous podcast episode, but I didn't grow up like with like a lot of maternal instincts. I wasn't like really into babysitting. That stuff didn't come naturally to me. So I feel like I'm always looking for support in how to really like be good with kids, and not in a way where I don't trust myself with my own children, because I absolutely do. Then there's like such an innate connection there, but like, I don't know a lot about child development. That wasn't like an interest of mine. That wasn't something that I paid a lot of attention to growing up. And I love my kids so much. Like, they are so important to me. And so I take my responsibility, like, as their mom really seriously. And so it's like, I want to understand these things. I want to know how to support them in the ways that they need to be supported. And so I feel like I have adopted a lot of like parenting tools or practices, like things that like Janet Lansbury said when they were toddlers, and like things that Dr. Becky says now. And I really take those tools and put them into practice. And that one, like inviting a kid to play before they ask you to play with them, has been so amazing for like, has been just so amazing for connection.
I just think that's so powerful. And what, I mean, Janet and Dr. Becky, I forgot. Janet Lansbury, she really showed up for us during those early
She days. Really showed up for us. I mean, honestly, like it's almost like hard to think about because she's so helpful. Janet Lansbury is like absolutely amazing. And I feel like anyone who's going into the toddler years, I'm just like, you need Janet. But it's also like, it was such a challenging time that it's almost like hard to think about like listening to your podcast or anything, because I'm just like, wow, that was like a really hard time and I don't want to go back there.
I don't ever want to remember. Yeah, I don't need to remember that. I like even this morning while I was having my coffee, I was looking at like the memories that, you know, you can look at the albums of like memories, and it's fun to look at the memories that you captured, right? Because if you're taking a photo, it's probably a good memory, mm-hmm. right? Versus the time where you're like dialing up Janet at 9 p.m. when you're exhausted, but you know if you don't, that the next day is just going to be a repeat of the shit show that you've experienced, and you're like desperate for support.
It's so true. I mean, Tim and I did like sessions with Janet. She was so, we were like, we're going to need a legit session. Brilliant. She was so brilliant. She's so brilliant. She's so helpful. And it also makes me think of like, especially when I was pregnant with Yaz, because I was so sick during my pregnancies. I had this toddler. I had Osh. He's, you know, he's a toddler. I'm like pregnant. I'm so sick. And I remember that I would turn on this cartoon, Puffin Rock. And like, just so I could like lay there just completely still to try not to throw up. And Puffin Rock would play. And if either of the kids ever turns on Puffin Rock, I feel like I'm like,
yes.
You know what? I'm like, change the show. I can't watch it. I can't hear the theme song from Puffin Rock without going back to that dark place.
Number one, I've never heard of that show ever. So that must
be very cute. It's very cute.
It must have happened like right after mine got out of the phase, like toddler phase. And I still think about you and how sick you got. And I don't know how you did it twice. I don't know how you did it. That must have felt so dark and isolating, and just people are trying to add value and like give you pointers, and nothing is ever going to help.
I know. I'm like, if one more person tells me about ginger shoes.
That's not going to help a woman that is vomiting, what, 15 times a day for 40 weeks?
I know. It was so hard. And during that time, I feel like self-care for me, and honestly, this is a theme in my life, even in the not really like, you know, hard, dark seasons. For me, I love TV. And I think some people are like, oh, whatever, it'll rot your brain. I like love TV. And I, when I'm having a really hard time, I love to rewatch a couple of my favorite shows for nostalgia. So when I was pregnant, like any time that I was alone, I was just watching Dawson's Creek or Felicity like on repeat. And that was like my source of just, you know, I wouldn't have called it joy at the time because I felt so yucky, but like as close to joy as it would get for that time. And for me now, like I love to be alone. I love to have a cup of coffee. I love to sit in like on the couch in, you know, like the hangout room by myself and have everything's put away. Like just, it looks really clean. And then I just sit there and I watch like a really fun show. That is so luxurious and fun for me. And there, like, there are a few things that come to mind in like a regular day-to-day cadence that make me more excited than that.
I love that. And those moments are kind of rare. You really have to plan for them. Like the last time I watched a show by myself, right? Like no one's in the house. That to me is like the ultimate luxury. I think I watched the Judy Blume documentary after my kids went to school one day. And I was like, you're only going to watch 20 minutes. And then 90 minutes later, I'm like still on the couch and I'm sobbing and applauding because I can't believe how amazing Judy Blume is. And it was such a luxury to do that during the day. And yeah, it was a trade-off, but I'm so glad I made it because it was like my 90 minutes.
That is so wonderful. And I think that something that I've thought of multiple times in this conversation is how I think in general, as women, we're sort of programmed by society at large, to disconnect from our needs and our wants and our desires, where it's like, you can't trust those. You can't have those. Like it's so much more important to be focused on what everyone else needs. It's so much more important to be focused on making everyone else comfortable and accommodating everyone else. And I think that, you know, I do feel like that is magnified in motherhood, where it's like, well, now it's like the ultimate like self-sacrificial role that you've stepped into, and you basically like don't get to have needs or wants or desires. And
hot coffee.
And I, of course, am not advocating that we just like don't ever think about other people or like abandon our children. Like that's not what I'm saying at all. But I think there's something so powerful about saying, wow, I'm still a human being. I am a human being who has wants and needs and desires. And it is good to recognize what those things are. And it is valuable to meet those needs. And it is valuable to allow myself to experience fun and pleasure and enjoyment, and not at the expense of like other people, or not in a way where you never think of another human being again. I don't mean it in some, like, I feel like people take things to like such extremes when they, when they hear that, but it's like, no, that your needs and wants and desires are factored in to the big picture of your life. And I think if we're not tuned into those things, no one else can be. Like, no one else is you. No one else lives inside of you. No one else can hear your needs, whether they be physical, mental, or emotional, social, spiritual, whatever they might be. Like, you are the only person who has access to that wisdom. And if you are totally cut off from that, or if you aren't tuned into that, like, nobody else can be. And nobody else has access to that. So it's like, we have to access that for ourselves. We have to find ways to prioritize that for ourselves in ways that make sense in that season of our lives. And also, we are the communicators of those things to other people, and no one else gets to those if we don't share.
Right. Yeah. We're recording this in December.
Yes.
So I just, or no, end of November. I don't even know what month.
Oh, I thought it was December too.
End of November, yeah.
It's officially November 28th when we're recording.
Here we go. When we're recording this. And so I recently, right after Thanksgiving, because I am somebody, I don't identify as a perfectionist, but I identify as somebody who is all in on life. And I like to go big, and in the holidays, I holiday hard. And I want to give a gift to everybody on your block. Like, that is how I holiday. And I start thinking about it, and then I'm like running myself ragged. I'm already like running myself ragged in my brain. And so I said to Nick a few days after Thanksgiving, I said, how will I get through the holidays without becoming overwhelmed and exhausted? And that was my way of like, kind of asking for help or sharing that I needed support, but I didn't even know what kind of support I need because I love to be all in. And I just love, he paused and he said, well, let's start with what is overwhelming and exhausting. So let's start there and then figure out a plan, right? Because while I have an exceptional partner in Nick, I don't invite him to help. And so he thinks that I just like love this because I do love it. And also I hate it because come January, because Dorothy was born in January, come January 8th, her birthday, like I'm ready for bronchitis to kick in on the 9th because I just holidayed so hard, did all the birthday things. And so if I don't ask for help, the people around me think, oh my gosh, she's just loving all of this. But yes, and I don't need to carry it all. I would probably love it just as much if Nick bought even 20% of the presents and wrapped them. You know what I mean? We have to ask for what we need.
We have to ask for what we need. And I think something that you just said is such a hurdle for so many people in having more fun, which is that it feels like one more thing they have to do. Like, what the heck? I'm already overwhelmed. And now I got to have fun too? Like, you got to be kidding me.
I have to walk for 2 hours? Reagan said she walks for 2 hours for fun. Now I have to fit that in and listen to Angela Lansbury? I mean, because it's like layering on all of the duties. I mean, truly. And then have a coffee date, but then not have a coffee date. Be present with my children. And then, you know, the whole thing is it's impossible.
It's impossible. And I think if you're like, oh my gosh, thinking of having fun feels more exhausting because I'm so overloaded. That is such a great place to start with like, okay, what is feeling overwhelming? And where can I ask for help? Or what can I just like let myself off the hook for? What do I need to let go of? And that I think is where it needs to start. If you're like hearing the talk of anything fun is further exhausting me. It's like, all right, let's start with seeing what you can either ask for help with or what you can let go of, because it won't be fun until you actually have like the bandwidth and the space for it.
Yeah. I mean, literally last Christmas, I made cut out cookies multiple times. No one should do that more than one day a year. Cut out cookies are horrible activity to get into, right? And then we did it multiple days. I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I cleaning up? Why am I doing more dishes than necessary when I'm stuck at home with these people for 14 days in a row?
Totally. You know? Oh my gosh, the dishes.
The dishes, why? I mean, they never end. If I weren't, you know, could you imagine if we didn't care about the environment, which I do very much, but like, let's just bring disposable things back
to everything.
We never do another dish in our lives. Oh.
I think it's so important to let go of conditional thinking too, when it comes to our own pleasure, because like the dishes never end. The inbox, it never stops. Like the emails keep coming, the dishes keep piling up. And so I think for me, it's been like when we're talking about, you know, like self-care, it's been identifying like what are the non-negotiable practices that I really need to have to feel, I mean, for me, non-negotiable isn't even like to feel my best. It's just like to feel steady, to feel like I can handle what's coming. Like there, like I'm not even talking about feeling my best, but just like where I feel like I can show up and, you know, navigate like what life is throwing my way today and show up for the obligations that I have signed up for in this lifetime. And I then am like, how do I schedule these in? And not once the dishes are done or not once the inbox is cleared, but really prioritizing those things. And for me, that has been so huge to not make it wait until all of these other things are done, because if my needs getting met are at the end of like all of the tasks being completed, like it will be very rare, if ever, that my needs are getting met.
Right, because you're too tired at the end of the day.
Yeah, totally. Like I mean, movement, similar to what you shared, like movement is so important to me. And I'm never going to do a workout at like 8 p.m. at night. Like I can't fathom a situation.
Who
where that would be happening. Like, and if that's your, you know, your natural energy rhythm, amazing, but that is not mine. And so it's like, for me, prioritizing movement earlier on in the day, even if everything isn't taken care of, like, that is so important to me. And it's been so liberating to say, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not the only person in the world. The world doesn't revolve around me, and my needs do matter. And I'm going to find ways to meet those on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like 101. We have to at least do that.
Absolutely. Regan, this has just been so wonderful. Thank you for being here with me and with us today, talking about like creating margin for more fun and more joy in our lives. You are such an incredible example of a woman who really does prioritize joy and fun in your life, and does it in a way where it's like, I don't know, just feels like a wonderful positive ripple effect to everyone around you.
Thank you, friend. I loved our conversation.
Me too. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unmeasured Podcast. If you did, I'd love you to subscribe, rate, review, and share the podcast so that we can reach more people who are looking to live unmeasured. If you're ready for more, come hang with me on Instagram at Simi Bodich. Sign up for a 7-day free trial of Unmeasured, the virtual bar membership that celebrates your body and never shames it, at movementunmeasured.com. Or visit simibodich.com to get my weekly emails and learn more about my coaching and mentorship offerings. Thanks for joining me today. I can't wait to see you next time.